8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Are you packed yet, Jen? What's that for?
Okay. How can I pack for the cruise
when
I still haven't packed, unpacked from college?
It's an energy bar.
We're eating chocolate. So,
Ghirardelli.
You, with sea salt.
You answer this for me. How can I pack for the cruise, which we're leaving on Monday, when I still haven't unpacked from Colorado? My suitcases are open in my office.
You know I do that, right? I line them up, and I take an empty one.
With
and
all
I take
the Colorado
out of the
stuff.
One that's already full and dump it in there that I'm not going to use so I can use what's left that's usable for the next trip.
So this isn't the most deeply spiritual podcast in history, is it?
No.
About as good as Jesus' trips down the road with his disciples. Which almost nobody knows what that was like.
So do you like my new t-shirt idea then?
Yes.
So it's going to have a picture on the front with Jesus with one of his arms looking muscly.
The arms that used to pick up huge trees.
Yeah.
That arm.
Carpenter's arms. And it says, Buff Jesus. And then on the back of the t-shirt, it says, Turning Tables Since AD 27.
Yeah, that's going to be an awesome t-shirt.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
So, what has this last week been like for us?
Trying to sleep for a few minutes a day. Staying up all night long, trying to go through stuff to find what we need.
Helping a team member move from his apartment.
Having lots of conversations in the spur of the moment about...
Visiting family we haven't seen in a while, so they didn't want anybody to go while we chased cats around and the apartment got loose.
Plus shopping, last minute shopping for the cruise.
Yes, and each night we went to Publix and bought the leftover chicken they
had.
Oh my gosh,
we have lived on Publix chicken tenders this whole
entire
week.
The dark chicken, the light chicken, the legs.
The light chicken, I don't like the dark.
Publix chicken tenders.
But at least I didn't have to buy parts of it that looked like the body it came from because I'm not going to do that.
I know.
So is it okay to be... a spiritual person and have normal things like this? I bet it wasn't like this for Jesus. Cat,
are you kidding?
Everything perfect in Jesus's life?
God wouldn't make it that easy for him. That's why he doesn't make it easy for us. That's what I was told from the top.
Okay.
He didn't make it easy for his son, so we shouldn't expect it to be made easy.
Well, I know
for
he
us.
Gave him grace because the scripture says
he filled him with grace for abundant life while he was a child because he knew he'd need it for the rest of his life. He didn't have to go every day before the throne and say, Father, I ask for and receive grace. He had to fill him with all of it that he had before he sent him and got his merry men together.
So you kind of hinted earlier that you were... When did it happen that you were shown, you were taken to an actual... You actually went back in time.
And shown Jesus.
And you were there.
Oh, well, I was having a discussion with the father about our staff.
About how great we are and stuff?
Yes.
And how easygoing we are.
Oh, sure.
How great our hairstyles are.
No, I prayed about 5 times to him, so he decided to show me something. He said, hey, I didn't make it easy for my son. And the next second, I was in the past. I literally was there. People don't understand
what was the
difference.
Scene?
If
what
you travel in the spirit and you go back in time, that's not a vision. You are literally in that time.
That's so cool.
And it was Jesus with his merry men going down the road.
What did the road look like?
To go, it was just dirt.
Just dirt road.
Like with some little rocks on it and stuff.
So you
know, you
went back in time to
when Jesus was training.
Chocolates, Jen, you gonna share the chocolates? Thanks.
Within the first year of him, because you know he only had his disciples for 3 years. He had 3 years to get them in shape. You know, being just like him, traveling the spirit realm, raising the dead, you know, changing the weather, all kinds of stuff he had to train them to do. Took him a while to get it. But this was within the first year when, you know, the tax collector was still having rocks thrown at him because he was outside of his building and nobody liked a tax collector.
Yep.
They didn't even like him back then. You had to duck if you were in this little merry men group in case people decided to throw rocks at him. And then there was...
Doubting Thomas.
There was Doubting Thomas, who was always saying, "Are you sure about that? I don't know about that." Because I actually could hear them talking to each other.
Are we allowed to do that?
And then Luke, the famous physician, and all of his past patients running down the road trying to convince him he was making a big mistake by following this man and abandoning them, which is what they were saying. Mm-hmm. And so, and then there's the Sons of Thunder, the mighty James and John, fighting in the street over women. And let me tell you, they thought they were very pleased with themselves, and they always had these conversations about who was better, and they ended up in usually fights. And so there's, I literally saw these pretty girls standing by the side of the road. They decided to try to impress them, ended up in a fight. So here's Jesus, the Lord of glory, walking before all of them, taking them in to minister in the power and the miracles of God. And this is the scene that's behind him. So he had to try to focus on where he was going and what they were going to be doing and totally leave the rest of them to themselves until they got rid of their flesh. And so that was the scene that I saw. And God said, "I told you I didn't make it easy for him." And I said, "Okay, ours don't look that bad." So don't think Jesus escaped these same things you go through yourself. When it said in the Bible he was tempted in every single way, that meant tempted to be mad, tempted to get offended, tempted to give up. Mm-hmm. All these things people think, well, he wasn't tempted to be sin. They think, they know that he didn't sin. Yeah. But what they don't realize is he went through all these other things. Had to have conversations with people he'd rather not be with or be around. You know, avoiding certain things with other people that, you know, probably criticized him and bashed him. Ask 1 million questions. I know what that's like. Finding time to eat and sleep was the biggest thing he had to face. And the Bible talked about that. So I understand how he felt. So he was busy all the time. Once people found out that he could do miracles, and they never knew what he was going to do, that sounds like Facebook today. You never know what they're going to do. And so they didn't have a Facebook back then.
Yeah.
Everything would had to be seen firsthand. And if they liked you, it was a good report. If they didn't like you, it was a negative. Hey, it sounds like the liberals, doesn't it? So Jesus faced that too back in that day, that there were liberal people who didn't want him, didn't like what he talked about. Then there were those who absolutely loved him. So you had
both
of them.
And then he had his family.
Oh, yes, his family. Let's not forget them. That, you know,
who
they
already knew he did miracles, because I'm sure he was doing them at home growing up.
Do you know when he first did a miracle?
Yeah, when he turned the water into wine.
That was the first witnessed miracle.
Was he doing stuff behind the scenes? Do we know that?
Oh, yeah.
He was doing it at home.
Yeah, they were never sick.
Mary had no other way of knowing he could do that.
Yeah,
she didn't walk up to him and say, "Oh, a son, do you think you could turn the water into wine?" She knew he could.
It was a regular occurrence in the house.
This is what God said. It's not a miracle until it's witnessed by those in the public. That becomes a miracle. What could be common everyday stuff even for us in this supernatural time on the earth that we will be doing at home first, I'm positive of that. And then when it becomes public, if it's a supernatural act, they call that a miracle. To Jesus, that was a normal way of life.
Yep.
Can I ask you a question? I've always wondered about this. So when you saw that, him sort of walking down the road, first question is, how much time did you see happening? Like a few minutes, of an hour, 30 minutes? Was it like, how long was it that you saw?
Well, they walked for a little distance. I was walking behind them.
Like half a mile or something like that?
I don't know if it was half a mile.
A bit
you know,
less
maybe
than that.
A quarter of a mile, something
like
that.
So like 10 minutes or something you were
Yeah,
there.
It was like maybe 10, 15 minutes. But it wasn't just like something really quick.
Like one of the things I always wonder, like I know we know Jesus, you know, by faith and everything, and accept him. But how was his demeanor and mannerisms with the people that he was with? Because I always wonder, like, in terms of personality and, like, was he kind of stern? Was he kind of laid back?
He was a character.
Elaborate?
He played jokes on them a lot.
Okay.
So when they were heading off to this place,
mm-hmm.
he was super focused, But there was this, there was a...
Well, he knew what was going on behind him, even without looking, so he'd yell things back to them, like, letting them know and realize, I know exactly what you're doing, even though I'm not looking.
So he'd kind of call them on stuff, but then kind of do it in a humorous way.
He would do it in a humorous way.
Because he called them, he called the two brothers Sons of Thunder, knowing that that was their kind of characteristics and what that entailed.
Yes.
But he would kind of joke with them, but then keep them sort of focused kind of thing. Because it's quite important, isn't it? Because you see Jesus as being one way. I think
the more they got to know him, the more they really did want to be close to him.
Yeah.
Because he had so much compassion.
It was compassion. He had compassion on people, especially the ones who really needed it. But he also did not put up with wickedness. He didn't put up with the religious hierarchy who wanted to crush the people. He couldn't stand that. And he would always say things back to them. They weren't polite statements.
Oh, really?
Yes, you're a dead man's... You're a whited sepulcher full of dead men's bones.
So how often would those people be coming up in his life then? Like daily people?
Well,
like
some of them would follow him. He began to pick on him, sort of thing? The more he got known, people would follow him. Sometimes crowds of people.
He had protesters too?
He had protesters, just like the liberals right now.
Wow.
You know, he had protesters because they didn't have megaphones. They didn't have newspapers, you know. So they, whatever they found out or thought, they yelled at the spur of the moment. Then they could get their own little crowd to listen to what they were saying. That was against him, but his crowds were always bigger. So Jesus had experienced what we do in this day. Even though what he did was right and it was good and it was God, there were still people that didn't want him. And the crazy thing is this, all the way from now to the end of time, which means, you know, when everything's all wrapped up and God makes a new earth, even up through all that time, there'll still be people that don't want him. Like in the millennial reign.
That's just wild.
When Jesus will rule from the throne of Jerusalem, which, by the way, he will be. I know some people think that's not going to happen. Wrong. God still has plans for that. It's going to happen. So even during that time, this is after the tribulation is all over, and Jesus sits on the throne of Jerusalem for 1,000 years, there will be people that don't want him there and will speak against him. But Jesus won't let them get away with it, because if they don't bring their goods before his throne, which is just a way to honor him and show what the goods are they made, he won't send rain on their land. So those liberals in that day will not find it so easy to get away with the bashing.
And there'll still probably be protests, but it's like...
And there'll be, you know, hey, that's true, because when Satan is loosed from that bottomless pit, he'll be there for 1,000 years. When he is loose, the first thing he'll want to do is rally those around him that don't want Christ and begin to speak against him seriously, trying to get a mob and an army together to wipe him out and take him off the throne. So that doesn't change. So we should expect it during our time. How you respond to it is what matters, okay? You stay focused. Don't let that stuff get in your soul. Keep going forward, thanking God, spending time with God, and forget all the rest of it.
Yep.
Just don't let it mess you up. Don't let it steal your destiny. He didn't, and we shouldn't either.
That's right.
So just because we have to spend a little extra energy and lose a lot of sleep,
yes,
and wonder if we're going to eat, that sounds like Jesus too, we do this so that we can go places to spread this and share this message about heaven and heaven culture everywhere we go.
Let me ask you this then.
Yes.
This is a weird one. So... you know the way Jesus was, you know, for example, in that situation. I'm not saying he's not here, but, you know, in the way he was physically there then, if he was physically here now in this situation, with all the different denominations and different things going on, how would he interact with all the different people with their little cliques and groups and things
like
that?
He would probably be the same way he was back then.
Just like a no-nonsense kind of, but full of life type.
Yes, but he was always captivate people with what he said. And they would realize that somebody was standing in front of them that was not normal. That knew things they didn't know. So there's many ways he could get those conversations changed or switched just with everyday people. And get them to really want to listen to him. Because remember when he was on the road with the two guys.
So when he was getting his hair cut, for instance.
Yes.
He'd be there with somebody that was completely not even looking for God necessarily.
I don't know that he cut his hair because He was Nazarene.
Oh, so he had, I got my hair cut.
I don't think he had a barber.
I got a lightning bolt.
That was a quick and easy answer. But he would always say things that would be very profound to them.
Yeah.
You know, just like God, when he gives us revelation, some of it's very profound. It's in a, something you never thought of. But it also opens up understanding for things so that you can have an understanding of it. He did that with people all the time.
With everybody that he was meeting was basically getting the idea that they were being reminded that they belonged to God, and that, you know, it was like a, like every single person was basically having a kind of encounter, right?
It was, and he made everybody feel
even
that
if they
way.
Didn't even it wasn't even in there, like if they just saw him on the road and just happened to look at him and he looked at them or whatever, there was something going on in every single interaction that was basically sort of getting people to the core of who they are.
And the reason why he was able to do that was because of what was in his soul, in his own soul. He kept his soul free of things. So he wasn't never under stress. He didn't get offended at people no matter what they believed or what they said. He always was filled with life, and remember that grace. It always helped him. But he was here to not judge the world. Remember that word? But to save it. So that was in his heart all the time, to help mankind, to help them to know God, and to help them in their own life they were having right then, even at that time. That's what he was about.
Okay.
Guess who's walking through?
Say hi, Gigi.
Say hi.
Hi.
Are you getting ready for the cruise as well?
Yes.
Are you going to look forward to going to Ireland?
Yes.
Is that where your mom and dad were from?
No, not my mom and dad.
Who was from Ireland?
It was my great-grandparents.
Oh, okay. Awesome. So we're not going to go to exactly where they came from, but you're going to be close enough, aren't you?
Yeah.
In Dublin.
Awesome.
Yes.
So everybody is listening to this. Just come on over to the cruise ship, and then Gigi will come out and chat to you, right?
Yes. Come on. The more the merrier.
There we go. Prayer line by the cruise ship.
But you are speaking in a church in Dublin.
I am. I'm very excited about that.
Do we know where? When?
Do we know what church, what the name of the church is yet?
Margaret's getting the information for me so I can do a Facebook Live before we leave and share to everybody where it's going to be.
Okay.
They will be invited. Anybody who shows up, they'll let them come into
good.
The meeting.
Yay. Yeah, because I know somebody that asked about that wants to come, so I got to let them know. But yeah.
And
it's so exciting.
I don't know, are we about to say the other place you'll be speaking?
Oh, I'll be speaking in Amsterdam. We get to stay at a hotel before the ship comes to pick us up. And
I can't remember what day that is. This is the most disorganized podcast in history.
We are just all over the place.
We leave on the 15th. I believe we arrive on the 16th.
Yeah, we leave the 15th.
The 16th and 17th, we will be in the hotel over there in Amsterdam.
You speak the night of the 16th.
I speak the first night, the 16th,
in
Amsterdam.
You're in the Netherlands.
In the Netherlands, which is part of my heritage.
I don't know what hotel it is.
The Dutch.
Just walk to all the different hotels. We'll be there.
But it's one in Amsterdam. That's all I know.
They have a lot of inventors, a lot of artists, a lot of creators that are there. All kinds of witty ideas are actually put out in the marketplace there in Amsterdam. And even in our own lineage, we have a lot of inventors and creators.
Yep. But we are looking forward to it because I know, especially you,
I'm looking
you
forward
and
to
I.
We actually plan to have some fun, everybody.
But you and I are going to lands of our ancestors, because we have
including Wales.
We have Irishness. We have Welsh.
We have
and we have
British.
English, mm-hmm. because of our mom's side.
And of course, my husband, who is all Scottish, will be there in his homeland, and maybe we'll have some reenactments of some famous things that go on there.
And we will try to do a podcast on the ship.
Of course, we have to do that.
Which will be fun.
It'll be a lot of fun.
And
maybe we can find a location in one of the countries to do it.
Yeah, we're looking forward to
the country with the longest name in the world. We should do something
there. Oh, I'm so excited about that. It's got 58
letters. That's in Wales, isn't
58
it?
58
We could interview
letters.
Somebody and get them to say it into the
microphone.
Yes,
it's in Wales.
We'll interview some people maybe in there, right? I can't even say the name of the country.
I don't even ask me.
The city.
But it does. It has 58 letters in its name. And if you go on YouTube, you can search for the town with the longest name.
And then you try to say it.
And it's a funny video. And ever since I saw that video, I always wanted to go there. And then I found out that we're going there. So
we'll meet a lot of people, have a lot of laughs, you know, take a lot of pictures. Mm-hmm. We're actually going to do some special things and videos and stuff that we're going to be creating that we'll use later. So it's going to be a wonderful time.
It is. It's going to be awesome.
This time we can do the flash mob dance on the boat.
I know. We try that every year. But
well, yes, but it won't be quite as... not as big a boat this time. Not 17 floors. I think this is about 10. But it might be a little bit easier. So we should consider that, doing the flash mob dance.
And, of course,
everybody dance
now.
We
are still on for the England tour.
Yes, we are. Still going to the England tour, the second half of
August.
It's
going to be moved back. It's going to be moved back a little bit.
A little bit, but we're still going to go for 2 weeks.
For two weeks, yeah. So we are excited about that.
Special plans for that, but we'll have to fill you in a little bit later about that one.
More details to come on
that. We're still working them out.
Well, that's good. This has been a pop-up podcast.
A pop-up podcast.
That's almost a tongue twister.
We should watch something funny and eat a bowl of popcorn.
Oh, that sounds nice.
That would be fun.
Yes.
Okay, any final words?
It's after midnight.
Father, I ask for and receive grace for this day. Amen.
Amen. Goodbye, everybody.
Woo-hoo,
now
bye,
I feel
guys.
The grace pouring in me. That means we're going to be busy.
Podcast number 40.
Ooh, 40.
Wow. I just realized that. Okay.
Well, we'll see you later. We got to go finish packing and find something to eat around here. And we will get back with you later.
Bye, everybody.
May the host go with you.
Bye.
Bye.